Golden State Media Concepts Sci-Fi Podcast. Together we dive into the world of sci-fi and science fiction. From episodes of Star Trek, Star Wars, to The Walking Dead, Resident Evil, all the hot new science fiction movies from the back doors of Marvel or DC. The Golden State Media Concepts Sci-Fi Podcast. You'll never look at science fiction the same way again.
Hello there, everybody. This is Jay here for the GSMC Sci-Fi Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. So we got some really cool stuff to talk about you on this episode. So let's get started. So if some Disney fans, you know, I have, but some Disney fans haven't noticed, Disney's kind of been going on, starting to go on a kick where they want to do live action versions on, you know, their on their animated films. You know, a lot of their animated films. They've already done this for Cinderella. They did this. I want to say they did for Snow White, but I'm not sure about that one. They did Maleficent, which was kind of a spinoff on the Sleeping Beauty story. In the last few years, they did Jungle Book. They've done Beauty and the Beast, and this next year, they're doing The Lion King and Aladdin, at least those two. So, oh yeah, and the film I'm about to tell you about, which is Dumbo. So, and of course, they have done two Alice in Wonderland films. They did Through the Looking Glass, the one before that. One was good. Through the Looking Glass, it was hit or miss. It had some good parts, but some not so good parts. And really, the live-action films themselves have been kind of hit or miss to me. I've seen some really good ones. I'll admit, actually, Cinderella was better than I expected it to be. I really, really liked The Jungle Book. Beauty and the Beast, it was good, but it did not blow my mind. And Tim Burton is directing this live-action Dumbo. Now, one thing else about this movie, it's got a pretty interesting cast. It's got Danny DeVito, Colin Farrell, Michael Keaton. It's got a good cast of people. It really does. You know, and we got our first trailer, like, in the last week. And, you know, you get to see, you know, yeah, you get to hear a new version of Baby of Mine, or Baby Mine. You get to hear a new version of that in this trailer. You get to see a bit of Dumbo flying in this trailer. I guess Colin Farrell is, like, I don't know if he's the ringleader, if he's one of the ringleaders. He's got two kids, I guess. You get to see in this trailer where, you know, Dumbo, first, you know, like you know, they first see him. You get to see where I guess there's three mice. I don't know if Timothy is one of them. I really don't know. And we get to see the part where, you know, Dumbo's mother is taken away from Dumbo. I guess there's a part in this new live-action film, as we see in this trailer, where, you know, Dumbo gets taken by Michael Keaton to some, like, bigger circus, like Dreamland, or maybe it's, like, a little theme park or something. I'm really not sure. And we get to see in this trailer where, you know, he's wearing the clown makeup, but I don't know. So what are my impressions after this trailer? Really, I want to say I'm impressed by it. I'm not. I'm really not. You know, I just watched this trailer a couple of times, actually, in this last week, and I don't know. I mean, like, it looks to me like, it looks like it's a movie that, you know, because it's kind of a hard film, a hard story, and a hard film, I think, to jump from animation to live action. Because when I got, you know, older, you find out there's a lot of stuff in the Dumbo, like, animated movie that you probably couldn't do in a movie nowadays. It's just the facts. You know, there's a lot of, you know, racist things in it. There really are characters, songs, you know, scenes. There just are. Heck, there's a part in the, you know, animated film where Dumbo gets drunk with Timothy, and that's where the whole, you know, pink elephants on parade thing happens. They show in this trailer, you get to see a little bit of that, but I don't think it's going to be the same. And, you know, just really watching this, like seeing what I've seen of this film so far, I'm not that excited for it. I want to be excited for it. I really, really do. But it looks to me because, like, the film itself, the animated film, had a lot of, animal characters. It did. It had crows that talked. All the other elephants talked. Dumbo's mom talks. And Timothy is, almost like his conscience in a manner of speaking. Almost, kind of. Or at least, someone who joins him on his adventure. And like I said, I don't know if Timothy's even going to be in this. So they're going from, we had all these animals talking in, the animated movie, but this, we're just going to replace them with, live action actors. We're just going to this is what we're going to do. And I don't know, because of at least that note, that thing on its own, I don't know if it's going to do that well. I'm not even really a big fan of the new version of Baby Mind that we hear in this trailer. I'm like, it's okay, but let's face it, the version that's in the animated version, it's not only a really good song, but it's a really good touching scene. It really is. Where Dumbo gets to see his mother, while she's caged up as a mad elephant, right? We get to see that, it's a really emotional moment for Dumbo. It really is. You don't even see the Mr. Sork scene in this, so maybe it's in this movie, maybe it's not. And I don't know, really for me, Tim Burton has been hit or miss for me. He did an amazing job with Night Before Christmas. I think he did personally a really good job with the first, Alice in Wonderland movie. I thought the first one was really, really good. I mean that. I thought it was really good. Through the Looking Glass, not so much. I think he actually was behind Cinderella, I think, or at least maybe he produced it. I'm not sure if he directed that one, but I thought, I was surprised at that one. I was like, okay, Helen Bonham Carter seemed like a strange choice for the fairy godmother in that, but she worked really well. But I don't know. I just think this is a movie, just as far as I've seen about it, not only am I not that, excited for it or that impressed by it in the trailers, but I just have, a feeling like it's going to be too hard of a story to try to jump from animated to live action. They did a really good job with that in Jungle Book, like I said before. A really, really good job. John Favreau did an absolutely amazing job. But for Beauty and the Beast, it looked really good visually. It really did. There were some song, musical numbers that were really, really good. But Be Our Guest and Evermore, I'm like, I don't really care. They're just not blowing me away. I don't know. And, that movie, Beauty and the Beast, had a really star-studded cast, too. It really did. It had a very, very big star-studded cast, So, I don't know. From what I've seen of this movie so far, I have a feeling it's not going to do as well as they hope. I have a feeling it might even, be a bomb. I have a feeling it might be. I hope I'm wrong. I really do. Because, I am, if you've ever listened to my, to sci-fi episodes of the past, you can probably tell I'm a pretty big Disney fan. I really am, I've watched a lot of the animated classics. I've watched a lot of the new films. I've watched a lot of, the safe films and the not-so-safe films. I've really, always been a fan of Disney, since I was a kid, right? And I was just lucky enough, it kind of jumped to adulthood. So, I know of Dumbo. I know of the story. And just what I see of it so far with this one, I just don't think it's going to do as well of a job jumping from, page to screen as they really hoped it would. Maybe I need to see more. Maybe I need to see another trailer, because I was iffy about Jungle Book until the final trailer they showed at Super Bowl that year. Because before that, it looked really great visually, but you never heard any animals speak ever. You really didn't. I think you heard Ka a little bit and maybe Shere Khan a bit, but that was freaking it. So it took a while for me to be, excited for that one too, because I'm like, I didn't really, hear anybody talking. I just didn't. So maybe it's a possibility now. Maybe just these trailers aren't doing the film justice. Maybe it's not being marketed as well as it should be. Maybe, I don't know. So that's just my verdict on it right now. I'm not excited for it. The trailer is overall, it looks good visually. But that's all it really looks to me, just good visually. It doesn't look like, hey, this is going to be an amazing movie. It's going to be a success. I just don't think so right now. That's not where I'm at right now, Kids maybe would enjoy this movie, but I just don't know. Because, like I said, the animated film, it's a hard story to, it's kind of a hard story. It's a story that I don't know if could be told that way today. Maybe that's one of the, barriers they're running into. Maybe. It's like, hey, how we told this movie back then We can't really tell it that way now. Maybe that's what's happening. It's a possibility, you know. It could be. I just don't know. I mean, I'm really torn it because, like, I want to be like, hey, cool, a live-action Dumbo. That seems really, really awesome. But I'm just not at that place right now. I'm really not. You know, it's kind of a bummer because, you know, most of the time, if Disney takes their time with these things, they know what they're doing. They really do. I mean, I'm excited for Lion King. I can't wait to see that. You know, I want to see more for Aladdin, but it sounds not too bad so far. And, you know, Jungle Book 2, whenever they're doing that, I can't wait for. And Mulan, I really can't wait for. So there's movies like, I'm like, hey, you know, I can't wait to see these movies brought on the live action medium. But, yeah, that's where I stand with this right now is I just need to see more and maybe learn more about it. And like I said, hopefully, I kind of hope I'm wrong here and it's just, you know, not being done well. That's all I can hope. But yeah, if you want to check out that trailer, it's on YouTube now. And like I said, you know, maybe you feel different about it than I do. That's a total possibility. So we're going to take ourselves a short little break right now, and we'll be back with some more sci-fi news.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Everybody, this is Jay back with some more sci-fi news. So I actually have talked about it a little bit on here before this movie, and before I do that, I'm going to jump a little bit into kind of like it's a little history about the film itself and, you know, the film that came before it. So I think it goes without saying I'm a really big Harry Potter fan. You know, I read all the books, I've watched all the movies, heck, I own all the movies, you know. And it was actually, honestly, it was a book series that got me interested in reading again. For a while in my life, I just was like, reading, nah, I don't really care about it. I'm not really too excited about it. I just didn't read that often. It just wasn't, you know, who I was really through my, you know, middle school years and high school years. And I had a friend said, hey, you know, you need to read these books. At the time, only the first four Harry Potter books were out. Sorcerer's Stone, Chamber of Secrets, Prisoner of Azkaban, and Goblet of Fire. And, you know, I borrowed these books from this person and I read them and the stories really gripped me. I really, really liked them. I actually own Order of the Phoenix and Half-Blood Prince and Deathly Hallows. Like I said, I've watched all the movies and I read something lately that said, you know, this is like one of the best series, you know, from book to screen. And I don't know if I agree with that, but I will say they did a pretty good job making these, you know, taking these, you know, books from, you know, page to screen. I'll admit that. They did a pretty good job. Now, of course, they had J.K. Rowling executive producing, so that was part of the reason why. And so, you know, all seven of the books came out. They split, of course, Deathly Hallows into two movies, which kind of actually needed to be done because there was so much that went on. And then it was 2 years ago, actually. 2 years ago, almost to the day, that they did a movie called Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, focusing on Newt Scamander, who we met a little or heard a little bit about in Deathly Hallows. He had done a book called, you know, Magical Creatures and Where to Find Them. And Eddie Redmayne played the character, you know, and it takes place, I want to say, about 100 years before Harry Potter. So it's when, you know, the magical world was very different. There was a Ministry of Magic in North America, surprisingly enough, which in the Harry Potter, you know, verse, there is not in his timeline. And, you know, we got to see, like, you know, a very different Wizarding World where, you know, things were very different. Where, you know, Newt Scamander in the first movie is going around, you know, he had gone on this, like, journey to, you know, find all these mystical creatures and catalog them and capture them, take care of them and learn about them. And he's kind of working on his book, you know, at the time. And at the very end, and there is going to be a spoiler here, but it's been out for 2 years, so If you haven't seen it, I'm sorry. That's all I can really say. Or maybe cover your ears. We see, you know, Colin Farrell is, you know, supposedly this, like, you know, wizard that's going around. In the end, we find out he's Grindelwald, played by, you know, Johnny Depp. And Grindelwald, in this time period, was, like, the worst, you know, darkest, most dangerous wizard out there. And this is, remember, 100 years before He Who Should Not Be Named, Lord Voldemort. So, you know, we see him at the end, and there's, I think, plans actually for doing a series of these, but I was lucky to be able to see, a little early, the second chapter in this series called Crimes of Grindelwald. Now, I'll tell you right away, this is a darker story. This is not, as you know, happy, joyous, light, fair as the first one, but honestly, it kind of makes sense. And this film, you know, by the title, you should kind of tell this, is that it focuses on Grindelwald. It focuses on, you know, how he's getting followers, how he has a plan. There's like, you know, kind of you hear about his mission and his idea and what he wants to do, you know, to the wizarding world. Because right now in the wizarding world, you know, like muggles, nomages, as they call them, and, you know, non-magics, and, you know, wizards and witches can't get married. It's just not possible. It's against the rules. You know, so there's that going on. And, you know, Eddie Redmayne has kind of gotten in a little bit of trouble since the last one. So his, you know, traveling visa for now is revoked. And we also get to see in this movie, and I thought, I will admit, I thought at first this was kind of an iffy casting choice, not even sure if it was a good casting choice, Jude Law as young Dumbledore, where at this time he teaches Defense Against the Dark Arts. You know, he's nowhere near being a headmaster. And I'll say that, you know what? I was wrong. It's a really good casting choice. So in this movie, you know, we're seeing, you know, Eddie Redmayne is kind of tasked by Dumbledore. You need to find Grindelwald and stop him. There's actually a really cool scene in this movie, and it's not a spoiler, I don't think, because it's in the trailers, where we see Dumbledore looking at the mirror of Erised, and he sees Grindelwald in there. So it kind of goes into their past, where, you know, they, I think, were they were really, really close growing up. I'll just put it that way. You know, I don't know if they were lovers or if they were in love. I don't really know. But there was some kind of past history with them. You know, there was. And because of that, you know, Dumbledore himself can't really go after him. So Eddie Redmayne is kind of tasked, you know, while some of the Aurors are doing the same thing. They're like, hey, you know, we need to find Grindelwald and stop him. Ezra Miller actually plays a character in this called Credence, who Grindelwald is looking for, the Aurors are looking for. You know, Newt Scamander has been tasked with looking for. So they're all trying to find this one person, you know, and like I said, the magical world is starting to kind of, like, you know, feel the impacts, because early in the film, Grindelwald escapes, and, you know, the magical world is like, oh my god, we need to find him, we need to stop him, find out even what he's up to, because they don't really know what he's up to. And I think Johnny Depp is absolutely amazing as Grindelwald in this. I really do. I think he does a great job as this villain. Grindelwald is really, like, you know, probably one of the most dangerous wizards in the wizarding world at this time. You know, and poses a real threat. People are really frightened by him. They're like, oh my god, you know, we need to stop him, because he wants to pretty much, you know, just like change everything and maybe even bring everything crumbling down, you know. So the wizarding community is really frightened by him. They just really are. But there are many of those by this point who, you know, like, hear his message and go, you know what, I want to be a part of this. I do. Some of the stuff he's preaching, some of the stuff he says he wants to do, I am all for this. So there's that fear as well. You know, a fear that, hey, you know what, he's getting followers. He's getting people to follow him, you know, and his teachings and his ideals, and kind of become a part of his, you know, mission. So so this film is like, you know, going around, you're trying to find, okay, who is Credence? Where's Credence? Credence wants to know about his past, you know, his history, who he is, family name, things like that. And you know, Johnny Depp, like I said, plays a big part in this. Eddie Redmayne plays a big part in this. We get to see at the beginning of the film some more really cool looking magical creatures. Because I guess underneath the place he's staying, he's got another big zoo. And yeah, I think personally this was actually better than the first film. I really think so. I think it was a stronger film. It flowed better. It never really dragged on. There was some really good special effects in this film. There's some really good scenes with Grindelwald that I really, really like. There's a scene toward the end that's, again, been shown in the trailers where he's talking to some of his followers. I got to be there in Hall H, you know, at Comic-Con this year, and he comes out as Grindelwald, and I was just like, man, it looks just amazing. And the costume does. It looks like a really amazing costume. Jude Law gets some really good scenes as Dumbledore. We get to learn a bit about Dumbledore's past here and a little bit about Newt Scamander's past. And yeah, it was just a really good film, a really strong film. There's a few interesting twists and turns, kind of surprising twists and turns as the film moves along. And it does a really good job, like, you know, kind of leading up to whatever the next chapter in this story is going to be. And it made me, like, you know, really like, man, I want to see what happens next now. I really do, you know. So, yeah, if you're, like, there's some really cool tidbits here along the way. We get to see, you know, Nicholas Flamel in person. We get to see him, which is really cool. We heard about him in, you know, some of the Harry Potter films. We never saw him in person. There's some really cool, like, nifty tidbits along the way in this film that you'd have to be a big Potter fan to really catch. And, yeah, I would just highly recommend it. I don't know if the film would be for everybody, and since it's a little bit dark and a little bit scary, I don't know if little kids should go see it. But if you're a Potter fan, you're going to love it. You're going to enjoy it. And I would highly recommend it. I really mean that. I don't do that every day for films, but I would highly recommend this one. I think it's totally worth doing. It's doing pretty well so far. And I think it's going to do well in the coming weeks. I really do. So, yeah, that's out in theaters now. And, yeah, I would say go check it out, especially if you are a Potter fan like moi. We're going to take ourselves another short little break, and we'll be back in a few moments with more sci-fi news.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Hello everybody, this is Jay, back for some more sci-fi news. So, I've started doing in the last few episodes, kind of like, you know, little like recaps of sorts, reviews of sorts of DuckTales, you know, and like I said in the past, you know, it's a show that I was iffy about at first, but it started to grow on me. And like the cast list was really, really cool. The show's a very different dynamic from the 80s, but in a strange way that works. This show really helps, too, that a lot of the people behind it, the cast, the crew, the writers, the creators, most of them are all DuckTales fans. You know, they watched the cartoons growing up, you know, they've watched them, you know, later in life, and they have a real passion for this project. So, with that in mind, I've decided to talk about the one of the more recent, it may not be the most recent, but one of the more recent, it aired maybe a week or so ago, episode is called The Town Where Everyone Was Nice. So, there's a festival that happens every year where, you know, most of the clan goes to, I don't even remember the name of the festival off the top of my head, but it's something to do with a flower that only blooms like once every year or every 10 years or something like that. And the big thing about this episode is Donald Duck, you know, gets to reunite with the Three Caballeros, you know, a band that he played with many, many years ago. And I know a bit about them. I've watched a bit of the cartoons. I can't say I remember a whole lot about them, but, you know, it's a band that he used to be a part of, right? And So we get to see them come back on this, you know, episode here. And, you know, at this point, Jose and Pedro, you know, are really big. Jose, you know, says he has some big company where, you know, he, you know, gets to fly and, you know, all this stuff. He's really big, you know, big shot. Jose says, well, yeah, now I'm this big, you know, musical star and, you know, I get to tour everywhere and it's just an amazing life. And of course, Donald Duck is like, well, geez, I don't get to do any of that stuff. You know, my life is kind of boring and dull compared to theirs. So he lies, I'm a billionaire now. That's what he says to them. And so he kind of tries to play, you know, as he kind of like wants to at least kind of live the lifestyle as Scrooge does right now. Because, you know, he doesn't want to, you know, show his friends, his old friends, you know, how kind of miserable and bleak his life really is, right? It's just the way it is. So, so there's that going on this episode. Scrooge is not too happy about it, but he's allowing, he's like, hey, you know what? It's Donald's weekend. He hasn't seen him in forever. Fine. I'll let him have this one. The episode starts off kind of odd where, you know, it's this like nice little like exotic town. Webby is really excited about all the history where, you know, one of the boys, I want to say Dewey, doesn't really care. He's like, eh, whatever, you know, I'm just here. I'm just going to take selfies and everything because, well, you know, if you never take a photo of it, it never happens. And Webby's really disappointed in that. But it is kind of a little strange from the get-go where it seems like everybody who lives in the town is really, really nice. They're really nice. They're really kind. They don't ever seem, they almost seem robotic. So it becomes clear to, you know, I want to say Huey and Webby that, you know what, something is a little fishy with this town. Something's going on. Something's a little wrong. And as the episode goes along, it turns out there is something going wrong. There is something very fishy about this, and that is that the festival is all a trap. It's a lie. This flower is actually some giant creature that, you know, when people come to the town, to the celebration, you know, they become this plant's dinner. So, and, you know, there's that interesting, there's that going on where they realize, okay, this is really, really bad. We actually get to see a musical number or two with Donald and, you know, Jose and Pedro, the three caballeros. So that's really cool. Really kind of fun little musical number, actually. Donald actually becomes the hero of this, kind of, which is really cool. It's an interesting little unexpected twist there. And yeah, it's like I said, the episode starts off a little slow, not so strong at first. But as the episode moves along, it turns out into a really, really good episode. It's a really fun episode. I really enjoyed it. The animation is top-notch, like always. It really is. And it was really kind of interesting, too, because we see as the episode goes along that, you know, eventually, you know, Donald goes, okay, I admit it, guys. I'm not who I say I am. I just, you know, why I did this because I wanted to, you know, look really big and important with you two hotshots. And then, well, Jose and Pedro go, but by the way, about that, you know, and they admit, you know, they're not really who they are either. Pedro is actually just like, you know, works, it doesn't have a job like he said. He's like, you know, much, you know, not nowhere near as big as he said either. And Jose is the same way. So, yeah, so they're like, and like I said, but Donald becomes kind of the surprise hero at the end. He really does, you know, and I think it was another really fun episode. I really enjoyed it. You know, the plant monster looks really, really cool, really, really terrifying. It's kind of funny how they chose to bring him down. Like I said, Donald, you know, uses his voice just terrible and the plant can't take it. You know, so that gets to happen there. And it was cool to see Donald back with his old friends. It was kind of cool to see a little reunion of the three caballeros. That was really cool. And we got to see Scrooge, you know, just kind of like goes, well, God, I don't really like this, but this is just how it's going to go. And, you know, like, it seems like most of them are just there because, like, well, we're here because, well, Donald, you know, asked us to be here. We're here to support him. But, you know, like, Scrooge doesn't want to be there. He really doesn't. He's not all excited about it. But like I said, Donald is really excited but a little nervous to meet his friends again. And overall, I thought, you know what, it was a fun episode. It really was. It doesn't do a gargantuan amount of stuff to, like, really, like, you know, advance the main narrative of the season, which I'm not even sure if we're fully clear what that narrative is yet. To be honest, I don't think we are. But we do know that, you know, they're going on some more adventures. They're going to some more exotic places. And, you know, just kind of like this one was just kind of episode was like, hey, you know, most of them are just here for the ride for Donald to support him. And yeah, if you've liked the previous episodes this season, you'll probably enjoy this one. I really think you will. You know, I would recommend checking it out. It had a lot of funny moments. Like I said, it had a few good musical numbers, a few cool little action scenes toward the end. Like I said, a fun little mystery was going on as this, you know, episode progressed. And it had a cool little twist at the end, you know, like where, like I said, Donald, you know, isn't always getting to be the hero. And this time he got to shine. And I think he did a good job with it. I really do. So, I'd say check it out. It's available on, you can watch it on the Disney Channel Now. Or I want to say you can actually watch it more on Disney Now. Disney Channel Now or Disney Now, you could watch it on there. So, yeah, I'd highly recommend checking it out. And, I think you'll enjoy it if you're a fan of the show. So that's all we have for this episode of Sci-Fi News. Hope you had as much fun listening to it as I did bringing it to you. But don't worry, I'll be back real soon with more Sci-Fi News.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Sci-Fi Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.